8 to 15, 12, he painted this wonderful, and this scene is the main scene, correct? It's called creation. So there we have the hand of God and the hand of Adam. And in those times of turmoil and just longing for God's intervention, this was my prayer. God, would you just reach out and just touch me and touch that person? Would you just, I long for your fingerprints all over this dilemma. And it can be about a kid. It can be about a friend's friend. It can be about a parent. It could be about anything, the addiction that you sang about, all of this. So that's the longing we have. But this is called the creation. And if I think of the hands of God at work, then obviously, and I think creation, I say, oh boy, that's God's territory, isn't it? I can see God like, you know what, the planets and this cosmic soup and chemistry and this science and physics and all of that, and God's attributes like Almighty and all-knowing. That is like God, the Creator. His hand, I can find it in that world. But when I think of the vastness of creation, and I think of myself sitting there with my tiny little speck of a life, on this tiny little speck we call the earth, and I'm like speck on that little speck, it seems almost, can I ask of the Creator God to be so intimately, closely connected to my life and my story and my challenge and my crying out to Him in the morning, God, would you just come, you know? And if we then think about the gospel that you and I share, that indeed we believe the Creator God, that He became vulnerable. And He became like a speck of dust in Jesus. And we find that speck of dust, God amongst people. The Bible says that He had a heart of compassion. And He would then reach out in the dung and the dust and the deserts of life and touch a leper or a blind person. And that person be healed and restored. Oh my, that's what we long for, the reality of the hand of God in our lives. Now, when we study the Bible, we find about 38 references to the hand of God in the Bible. I'll just read a few for you. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands." Correct? Or, "He did this so that the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful." Psalm 37, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." You know, so over and over, the hand of God. And if we dissect these passages, and if we study these passages in the Bible where it refers to the hand of God, we discover something powerful. Whenever the Bible talks about the hand of God, it is all about the presence of God in a situation, but God's intervening, engaging presence. So we can flip these words around and says the hand of God refers to God's present intervention or God's intervening presence. Isn't that amazing? So every time we see the hand of God at work, we know God is there in that moment, and God is at work. He's engaged, directing, changing, enabling, protecting, providing, empowering, guiding. And that's what I need and you need in your world. Would you believe if I would say that God, our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, is closer to you than you think? Can you imagine if we would then say that the hand of God, God's engaging, intervening presence, God's hand is upon you and me? Really? Is that true? Can it be? Even in the mess I find myself in, oh my goodness, this is like a wave, it's knocked me over. I cannot. Really? Is this true? Well, let's look at a few examples from the Bible, and I hope you find this very interesting because I think it's amazing. And I'll keep this short. Oh, we have lots of time still, eh? Yeah! Okay, firstly, we have Nehemiah. Nehemiah, wall, right? So Nehemiah is in southern Persia. In the year 722, the Assyrians invaded the northern part of Israel. And then in the year 587, the southern Judah, the southern part of Israel, was invaded. That's where Jerusalem was, and Nehemiah's people was. And so they were removed. They were in the Babylonian captivity, it's called. And Nehemiah ends up in southern Persia. This happens 140 years after they were invaded, by the Babylonians. Crazy. And there he is, and his brother comes to him. And his brother says to him, "Oh, Nehemiah, you have no clue like what's happening in our hometown, man. It's like a mess. The walls are down. Things are not good." And there is Nehemiah, and he is a man of his roots, and he feels the pain. And he here's the message, Nehemiah 1:3, "It's not good. People are in misery. The walls are broken. Gates are wide open." And there is Nehemiah. And he's got to deal with the walls. But this is so huge for him that he cries and weeps for about 4 months. His heart is broken. How many seasons of pain have you gone through? You know, we do a stupid thing in 3 seconds or 15 seconds. It takes sometimes 4 months to recover from that, right? In life. And now Nehemiah's heart is broken. And for 4 months, his spirit is just depressed. And then something beautiful happens. I think he realized that the walls down in our lives, it's not about the walls, but it's all about the glory of God. God has not left the place. God is closer what we think. It's not about the walls. In the end, it's all about the glory and his redeeming presence with us. Now, we've read the story. I don't have to retell it totally. But what happens, he comes to the king and he says, "King, I have a few questions. You need to give me an escort, please. I want to go home. And by the way, there's the law of Medes and the Persians. It cannot be changed. We're going to change it. You're going to send me home anyway. And that's okay. Oh, and the owner of Home Depot, please, I want the keys because we need some drywall and all the stuff. We got to go home. And I want to build a new home for myself." And the king agrees to that. And then Nehemiah professes and he says, "Because the good hand of my God was upon me." Because the good hand, the intervening presence, God who can intervene and change things and turn things around, it's because my God, it's personal, was there. Now, he calls it the good hand of God. I struggle with that sometimes. If you would talk with me spring of last year, the good hand of God, I struggled with that. And we feel the pain. Is it a good hand? Would God's will truly always lead to light? It feels like God's will is leading me to a broken, dark place. But Nehemiah says it's a good hand. And I want to encourage you, embrace that word. Hold on to it. God is closer to you than you think. And then he says, "The good hand of God was upon me." Nehemiah says it was as if God, my Father, was putting his hand on my shoulder. And he said to me, "You are the one. I will do this through you. I want you to rebuild the walls." And I so wish I could put my hand on everyone's shoulder here. Maybe you should make a group hug, eh? So that we could just feel the reality of God who is closer to us than we think, enabling us, present, intervening, engaging God with us. Do you need that in your world? Where are you on your life journey? Who knows what awaits you tomorrow? That you might need to embrace this idea, this truth. Just drink it in. Grab onto it. Hold onto it. Is it real? Oh, yeah. Is this true? Absolutely. Honestly? Of course it is. Positively. And we know this is true also when we study the life of the people of Antioch in the New Testament. So, let me be clear. When God works with us and He restores us, like He did with Nehemiah, using him, it's never for our own sakes only. God wants to work in your life, and you will find His fingerprints on your world for the sake of your family and your church family and your friends and the world. And that's why we find God's hand also in the church of Antioch. They were scattered. They were being persecuted because they loved the Lord Jesus. And yet, as they went, because they were being persecuted, they shared the good news of Jesus, and people came to faith. And actually, the Bible says that a great number believed, and they turned to the Lord. And then the question, why? Because the hand of the Lord was with them. I don't want to bore you with the Greek. I can do that this morning. It says the power of God was with them, or the hand of God, meaning the power is the expression of God's presence. So there you have it. Persecuted. Circumstances is like a glove. The glove of your circumstances. But if we would just wait and pause and think, we will find that God's hand is the hand that is right there in the glove of our circumstances, changing us, moving us. Sometimes we, like Peter, like wineskins that's grown old. We're a little cracky. And God wants to squeeze us and move us when we don't really give, right? You know? That's true, okay? Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. They discovered when they said, what was happening? A powerful force for the gospel. They realized God's hand, it was His presence, was like a hand in the glove of our circumstances. And I don't know why we have to share this word this morning, but I want to encourage you that God is closer than you think. If you would just wait, you will find His hand right there in the glove of your circumstances. So how shall we respond to the word? Now what? Eh? Okay, now what? God's presence, His intervention, God with us. First Peter says it simply, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. And I think humble means that maybe it's time for you to yield, to submit, to give. You need to yield. It's no use fighting it. There's no way around it. Why don't you just simply yield? Humble yourself under His mighty good hand. Jesus, when He was dying, He says, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And He committed His hands into the hands of His Father as He was dying, because He knew that He expressed the life lived with the life lived in the presence of God with Him. He died giving His hands into life into the hands of God because His life had been in His Father's hands all of His life. Yield. Have you ever done that in your life? Just yield it. Give in a little bit, you know. Give in. Just give in. Give over. Hand over. I think lastly, this is an important message for Shadoke Church and for Knox Waterdown and for God's people. If we believe God is closer than we think, aren't you and I His body? And would God not use you and I as living expressions of His intervening presence in this world? Right? Yeah. So as we give grace and reach out and touch the hurt and the lonely and embrace who are sorrowful and weep with them, God would use you and Knox Waterdown as expressions of His intervening, engaging presence in this world. And the world just mean you and your friends and the guy at the store And your kids, their friends. Amazing. That's God's plan. So I pray that you will know He truly is closer than we think. Gracious Father, thank you that this morning we can share the testimony also that you are faithful. And though circumstances for a loved one could spiral out of control, that there comes a time when we yield. We pray with friends and we seek you, Lord. And then, Heavenly Father, we find that there is a hand, a good hand, in the glove of our circumstances. Lord, you know these your people, where they are, challenges they have gone through perhaps, or what might have to face tomorrow, that they always would remember God's hand is also upon me. My Heavenly Father has placed His hand of love, His good hand upon me. And Lord, we know that as we are blessed and restored, that it would impact our loved ones and others in our worlds. And oh, I pray that you would pour out a spirit of the reality of your engaging presence, Father, upon Knox Waterdown, and that you would use them, that many would stand and just say, oh my goodness, I see it now. Through their lives and their presence, them engaging, I know God is closer than I ever thought. Father, thank you for George. Thank you for his heart. Thank you that he demonstrates your love and that he seeks your face so faithfully. Pray for the leadership of this church. Pray for the needs of this church. Pray for the joys and the opportunities they have. That as the people of Antioch, they would say, indeed, this is all because the Lord's hand is with us. Amen.